Hey, that's a good way to wake up. Good morning. Welcome to PCC, where we're worshiping Jesus Christ, living out God's love and transforming community by the Holy Spirit. I am so glad you're here. September 15th, can you believe that? I can't even believe that. Man, next week it's Christmas.
In Venezuela.
Huh, interesting fact. Thanks. Is that true? That's not true. Oh, weird. Okay. October, this didn't make the covenant call, and it should have. October 6th, it's the first Sunday of the month, which means we have communion, and it's World Communion Sunday. So the people that make the special breads, that's on again this year. So I'll make sure it goes out in the email, and we'll put it in announcements and stuff. But if you have bread from your heritage, bring it that Sunday. And then during the song, prepping for communion, you'll come forward and put it on the table. And we have all this smorgasbord of breads, and except that was kind of racially biased. It was smorgasbord. What's that's German. We'll have a Swedish, yeah. Whatever it is, it's going to be a lot of breads. And it's beautiful because then afterwards we eat those breads and have soup. I think that's the tradition around here, which is awesome. I love soup. It's actually Danny's favorite meal. If anybody ever wants a quick road to Danny's heart, just make him some soup. Next Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, Heidi Gim's memorial service in this sanctuary at 1 p.m. I'm going to be wearing a Bon Jovi t-shirt. Underneath a suit. So come for just that fact. Heidi was a huge Bon Jovi fan. It'll be different than any memorial you've ever seen. I promise you that. Other things. We got Bible study on Thursdays up in full swing. You guys are studying Matthew. You got books. Talk to Susan if you need it. Daytimers back in action. This Wednesday, I took a week off, went and prayed with my covenant group. All the pastors pray for you as well. We pray for each other's congregation all the time. Let's stand up and greet each other in the name of the Lord. Holy fist bumps. If you just sat down, I got some bad news for you. I'm going to ask you to stand up again for us. And we're going to, our call to worship this morning, man, I love it. I love the sound of chitter chatter. I love the sound of community. I love the sound of family. This is to be praised. God is to be praised for right now, right here. Our call to worship actually comes from Psalm 116. It's when David has just been delivered from death. And he says this. The psalmist writes this: I love the Lord because he hath heard. He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon him. I will call upon God as long as I live. Let's join as one voice and sing, Be Thou My Vision.
Always forget that in California, summer is unpredictable in September and October. So good luck. Enjoy the temperatures of today because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But this we do know. That all of you more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. satisfy me with your love and all I have in you. More than all I want, more than all I need, you are more than enough for me. More than all I know, more than all I can say, you are more than enough. More than all I want, more than all I need, you are more than enough for me. More than all I know, more than all I can say, you are more. Close to you. never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else to take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way, bring me back to you.
The Lord is all that we want, and we want to feel near to him. So this morning, let's confess our sins and know that we are his. This morning, our call of or prayer of confession is a call and response. So you guys will repeat, God of grace, forgive us. For failing to love others as you have loved us, God of grace, forgive us. For wasting your gifts and hoarding our goods, God of grace, forgive us. For plundering the earth and abusing the planet, God of grace, forgive us. For fearing those who are strange to us and ignoring those in need, God of grace, forgive us. For losing heart and abandoning hope, God of grace, forgive us. For all the ways we turn from you, God of grace, forgive us. We offer our prayers in the name of the one who saves us, Jesus Christ. Amen. Rest assured, children of God, that our Father is abounding in forgiveness, grace, and love for us. You are forgiven. Let's stand.
We're in a series, Welcome Home. We started with Welcome Home. This is a house of worship. And we moved to a place to belong. And then this morning we're talking about a place with a purpose. Welcome home. I guess that's right. Thanks. What's something we could come up with as a response? Welcome home. You too. we'll work on that. Oh, which means, I just reminded me I needed to correct it a couple things. I looked it up, and it was the King of Scotland that said, "May I never be in the wrong again." And it was somebody, the Bruce, Leonard the Bruce, Robert the Bruce, that's what it was, from Braveheart. And then I was talking to Jim Leahy. Well, actually, I didn't get to talk to Jim Leahy, but via Patty, he said he wanted to tell me something, and so I called him, and he said a good acronym for PCC, People Christ Cherishes. I was like, oh, that is a good acronym. So I thought I'd share it with us as a family, right? This is a place where we belong, and those songs, yeah, He Knows Your Name. That sums up last week. He knows your name. This is a place with purpose. We're welcome home. This is, and for the longest time, growing up in the church, I only thought the church was here, the Bible was here to tell us what not to do. I just remember feeling judged on a regular basis. And I remember feeling, I don't understand, like, am I not just supposed to do stuff and then die and then go to heaven? And then as I grew up and I came into faith and I started to understand the call of God, all throughout Scripture, it's filled with callings to do. We're not only saved from ourselves, we're not only saved from the sin of this world, we're not only rescued, we're rescued and saved too. And there's all kinds of what to do throughout Scripture. And I've chosen two texts, one pre-fall and one post-resurrection. New creation, purpose. But there's all throughout Scripture, all throughout God's Word, God calls us and tells us things to do individually and things to do as a community that bring life, that bring joy, that bring purpose. Let's start with Genesis, and our wires got crossed, so I'm going to read more than there's up there. I'm going to read what's up there, and then I'm going to keep going till chapter 8. No, I'm not going to read 6 chapters of Genesis this morning. I'm going to read till 2:8. So then God said, this is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, this is where the uncharted territory. George, you got that? Good. He's hanging in. Perfect. Everybody, one clap for George Ihara. One, two, three. I give you guys a B plus. Just a quick interjection, and I've often said this, if you don't want to turn in your Bibles, Karl Barth agrees with you. Karl Barth says, the Bible's the only book in the whole universe that is not meant to be read, but to be heard. So listen. Listen for God's purposes as I keep reading. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant yet had sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Gotta read John still, because it's still coming. Well, we can say it twice. This is the word of the Lord. And here's John. So that's pre-fall. That's original purpose. This is post-fall, post-death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. And the disciples are hanging out in a room in one. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us not only a purpose, but multiple purposes. Thank you for making each of us speak to each of us. Thank you for making PCC speak to PCC. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. And may my My words fall to the ground, and may your words change us from the inside out, like only your words can. We hand this all back to you in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, so pre-fall, that Genesis passage, here, who heard some purposes? Maybe raise your hand. I don't know. Did you hear some purposes? What were some purposes? I send you. Oh, that's John. You're skipping to the end. That's awesome. No, pre-fall. We're going Genesis. We're going to that first text we were talking about. I'll look at it again. I mean, take care of living things. He says twice, I've made you in my image. This is God speaking to humans. That's a purpose right there. There's a lot of purposes written in these first couple chapters of Genesis. I want to make sure we don't miss a couple just because theologians have really taught me the beauty of these. One of them is we're made in the image of God, two-dimensional versions of a three-dimensional being, but that's simplified, right? Because we are infinitely smaller than God, our God, the God of the Scriptures. I got a pop quiz. Who's the main character in the Bible? And if you say it's you, you're wrong. It's God. God's the main character of the Bible. We find out why we were made, and we find out so much about ourselves by studying the God who is revealing himself through these words, through these pages. Made in his own image. We're supposed to rule over the fish. We're supposed to take care of the birds. We're supposed to have dominion over the plants. Quick, kind of funny story. I maybe have told it before, but I was in a recovery ministry, and every weed smoker that has grown up in the church memorizes one verse in the Bible, and it's Genesis 1:29. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. They take that and say, I think God wants me to smoke weed. And it was funny because I was in this recovery ministry and there was this kid named Chris Larison. I call everybody kid, but he was like in his 30s or 40s. But I would say, what's every weed smoker's favorite verse? And he'd say, ever see you in the Bible? He would just spout it off. But we're to take care of plants. We're to be gardeners. Pre-fall. And we're supposed to be creative. N.T. Wright harps on that in all of his theology. God makes us as a creator, and he says, you're made in my image. He loves when we create. He loves when we make things, write things, make music, paint, shop really well, cook really well. And notice at the end, we're created with this purpose, like God, to bask in the very goodness, to enjoy God's creation, to enjoy being alive, right? That's the seventh day. And then, so Genesis 1, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Genesis 1 is one account of the creation of the world. And Genesis 2 is a second account. It's a second snapshot. And once again, who's the main figure? God. And so scientists are thrown off by this, but God wants to reveal not only how he made us, but why he made us. And the first snapshot is this huge picture of the universe. And this God that can can do whatever he wants, because he is God. He's the only unmoved mover. He's the only infinite that can't be crossed. He's the only eternal being. And so you get this picture of him making the universe, and you get this picture of him making the earth, like just playing with clay. And he's just making things, and it's all gorgeous and beautiful. Then the second snapshot starts in chapter 2. And hang on, because there's purpose to why I read you so much verse. The second one, you get this picture that there's this empty canvas. There's the globe. And he makes rivers start showing up. Oceans start showing up. Water starts showing up. Life starts showing up, right? And then you get this picture of God kneeling down into the dirt and making a human being and breathing life. Has anybody been to that Sistine Chapel? Is it beautiful? I've never been there. But that God, you know, touching Adam, is that what it feels like? Do you get that sense? I tell you this because store that away. But this is off the cuff, but you see a purpose even in that. I remember Terry. Maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, I don't know when it was. She was doing a children's sermon. And I remember all the kids were sitting up on the chair, up on the stairs. And I remember Terry going like this and looking eye to eye. Does anybody remember that? That's the purpose of God, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 6. Getting down into people's level. God Almighty creating. Now we'll look at post-resurrection, post-new life, second Exodus, second Genesis, people. That's us as Christians. What are some other passages I could have looked to for purpose? Anybody heard of the greatest commandment, the Shema? That's a total purpose, right? Love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Beatitudes, that would have been a good one. Great Commission. Go ye, make all disciples, disciples into the earth. I chose this one because of the Genesis. And I'll tell you why. First of all, disciples are all locked in this room, right? Poof. Jesus isn't held, like, locks don't mean nothing to Jesus, right? He's in this room with these disciples. And what's the first things out of his mouth? Peace be with you. I liken that to Genesis, the Sabbath. And I liken that also, I tie it with Hebrews when he says, you know, the people were forced not to rest until the Messiah came. But with the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, we as people of Christ can enter a rest that the Jewish nation dreamt of for thousands of years. In Jesus, we can rest fully and completely. We can take those words of Jesus on the cross, "It is finished," and let them seep into our bones. He shows up to the disciples and says, "Peace be with you." "No, no, 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 Jason. No, 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 Susan. No, 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 Lisa. Linda. Peace be with you." He repeats it. He repeats that purpose. Remember, my first sermon series was on the Sabbath. And I don't think that was an accident. I think God actually led me to that truth. We're called to rest. We're called to find peace. That's the first purpose that pops up in this passage. Then he shows them. He says, look at this. I got holes in my hands. I got holes in my side. That wasn't all a nightmare. That was real. I did what I said I was going to do. I died for you. I died for anybody who needs to be saved from this world and from themselves. I did it. And that's piggybacking on this peace. What do you have to work for when it's been done? Have you ever shown up to a job that's already been done? It's the best day of your life, right? I told Malia the other day, I'm going to do the dishes. She did the dishes. I showed up at the sink. Man, I'm amazing. No, she's amazing. God's amazing. He did all the work. The work's been done. Receive the peace, purpose. He's drilling it in. He says, look at my hands, look at my sides. It's real. I said it. I'm going to go and I'm going to pay you the price. I'm going to take the punishment. And this is where the purpose, like, we're saved from these things, and immediately Jesus, actually before that, because he's calling us to purpose, our purpose to receive the peace and be still. Notice what the disciples' reaction is. There's joy and then overjoyed. There's joy, overjoyed. I don't know. Just pause for a second and think about that. Do you have any joy? That was a joy answer. Do you have any joy? That's a Presbyterian over the top, overjoyed. That's awesome. Okay. I love this. Don't you love the Word of God? Don't you love that He has given us this peace and this purpose? And then He says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's a separate purpose. Receive the Holy Spirit. My friend Jane Bates sent me this back in May. Let me see what the date is. May 24th, 2024. And it's an article, it's a meditation from a man named Richard Rohr. He's a Catholic theologian. And he's talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit. And he says, he talks about living in the flow of the Holy Spirit, letting it flow through us, within us, and for us. And he says this, when the flow is not there, church becomes overly problem-solving and practical. Sacraments without the Spirit become strategic. They become something we feel obligated to attend or belong to in order to go to heaven. Church becomes about paying fire insurance dues. We don't really want to be there. We go along for the ride in case the whole thing just happens to be true. I know this might be shocking to say and hear, but this kind of church deserves to die. There's no life in it. There's no future in it. It is not of the Spirit, is precisely a blocking of the Spirit, but is disguised as if it's spiritual. And then he goes on to say, he says, outside of the Spirit, reading the Word becomes like ego ammunition. Inside of the Spirit, energy flows through us, and we see stories of people with the Spirit flowing through them. Outside of the Spirit, authority becomes domination. Inside the Spirit, authority becomes service. Outside the Spirit, politics becomes control. Inside the Spirit, leadership is something we know is given to us to offer to others. And then he ends it with, our job is to simply stay inside the flow of the Spirit, which is love. Stay inside the Spirit, the flow of the Spirit, which is love. Jesus' first words, be peaceful, receive the peace. Second words, look at my hands, look at my side, it's real. I did it. Third purpose in this John text, receive the Spirit. And this is why we read the Genesis passage. Because what does Jesus do? He breathes on them. He breathes on him. Like his father in Genesis chapter 2, kneeling down and breathing into dirt, forming them. The original human beings. Jesus has his 12, actually his 11. He's got his 11 and he breathes on them. This is a second Genesis moment. This is a new creation moment. This is a purpose for us. Receive the Holy Spirit. May Jesus breathe on you. Because apart from it, like I fully agree with Richard Rohr, apart from it, this all becomes a bunch of rules and don't do this. Our purpose is to flow in the Spirit. And then what's our first purpose as we're flowing in the Spirit according to this passage? What did he say? Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. What's our first purpose? After we receive the Spirit in our first... So the first two are all... They're all receiving. You're receiving the Holy Spirit. You're having Jesus breathe on you. You're staying in the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. What do? You are a forgiving machine because you remember you are forgiven. I think it's really important to remember when and where you've been forgiven. By people? By fellow brothers and sisters? And ultimately by God? Where were you when you first realized you were so messed up that you had no hope? God introduced himself to you and forgave you through Jesus the Christ. And then stay in that spot and look at everyone who's coming to you asking for forgiveness. Right? We're all new creations. Amen? How do we apply this? I think we can apply this by receiving that Spirit, staying in the Spirit, becoming forgiveness machines, and then also going back to the garden. Going back to the garden as a new creation. As a new Jason Griffiths, as a new Marsha Millar, as a new Terry, as a new Ian, as a new Stacy, washed in the blood of Christ, covered in the Spirit, going back to the garden to our original calls of being human, We can be as God designed us to be now that we are new creations. We don't have to wait for his second return in the kingdom triumphant to enjoy the goodness. We don't have to wait for Christ's second return to be good stewards of the planet we've been given, to love the birds, to love the ocean creatures. If you ever want advice on that, hang around with my wife and just go to the beach with her. Get good at living out the purpose of being the human God designed you to be. Filled with the Spirit, of course. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, I pray that you would continue to remind us that we are new creations. Continue to lead us. Oh, Holy Spirit, remain in us. Speak louder than the culture around us. Speak louder than the things that distract us. Help us to stop. Receive your peace. Receive your voice. And help us to forgive. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was praying that, I realized some people in here may not know they're forgiven. And you can't forgive someone as you've been forgiven if you don't know you're forgiven. You follow that? If you need to talk to me, I usually stand by the back door, but instead I'll just stand up here after the service. And if you want to talk about maybe what it means I'm having trouble forgiving myself, or I'll leave it open-ended. If you want to talk to me, I'll be up here. Let's stand and let's sing together as with one voice. Turn your eyes on Jesus. seated. As we continue in worship, now's the time where I invite you to join the adventure via your tithes, gifts, and offerings. And what I mean by that is God has blessed us so richly with so much, and we give back just a portion. But more than that, this isn't our toll. You don't come to church and pay your offering, and this is you don't pay to go forward. The grace, it's finished. It's all done. You receive peace whether you give offerings, tithes, or gifts, no matter what. This is your actually active participation in saying, I want to tell more people. I want to pour into this outpost financially so that more people might know that life and life abundant comes only through Jesus the Christ. This morning's tithes, offerings, and gifts now received.
Let us offer now a time of prayer for one another. Lord, we come here today in fellowship with one another, setting aside this time solely for you, to offer you praise and worship, to hear you speak to us, and to leave here shaped a little bit more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So we come humbly and quietly before you. God, we thank you for those times this week where we smiled and even laughed. Those times of friendships enjoyed, of meals shared. Those times when we appreciated the beauty of nature, when we felt a peace in our hearts, when we paused to be grateful for the life you have given us, for all of these and so much more. We know that we are blessed. for our days of difficulty and struggle, for the times when we have been less than our best. We give you thanks that you do not turn away from us and that we are never alone. Lord, we want to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of others. The need for hope, acceptance, love, and compassion is great, and you are the answer to those needs. Help us to show others the way to you through our ministries, and most of all, through our lives and example. We lift to you our country and its leaders. We pray for their well-being. We pray for those who are sick, suffering, lonely, misguided, or just need of your presence. We ask that you would touch them with your healing, with your guidance, with your peace. You have those on our prayer list, so we want to name and ask that you touch them in a way they would acknowledge. And so we pray, first of all, for Grant, our firefighter. May God give him strength and courage and wisdom. We continue to lift up Mike as he heals from surgery. We pray for Kim's sister, Natalie. We continue to pray for Ruth and Biff. Pray with thanksgiving for little Theo as he continues to improve. And we pray for his family as they settle in Texas. We continue to lift up Dick and Joe on hospice. And we pray for their families as they support them. We pray for Terry, her ongoing health. And we pray with thanksgiving for Patty, continued improvement. Keep Keith, Mary, and Dusty in your prayers for healing. Lord, for the confidence and joy and hope we have, because we walk daily with you, we give you thanks and praise. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the strength forever. Amen. Now let us stand for our closing hymn.
Can handle the curveball too. Micah, you're amazing. That was beautiful. That was cool. That was really cool. I was also that offertory. Without saying a word, that's exactly all the words that I just said in the sermon. I just felt that peace And I think that's the purpose I want to scream at the end of this. Receive God's peace. And may God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit guard your heart and keep you. And may the peace, that shalom, that peace that he brought the 11 disciples that day, may that same peace, Holy Spirit-filled peace, comfort you today, tomorrow, this week, this month, and forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.